But explanations are exactly what we offer this Saturday morning. It's December the 2nd, which means only one thing. It means that we are live at the More Than Money World Headquarters. We're in the Holy Lands. We are between Bethlehem and Nazareth and happy to be serving you this morning. We invite you to come join us. We have 55-cup urn of coffee back there. Joe told me specifically 14 cups of coffee. I jammed that in there. Right around 4 or 5, I thought, that seems like enough, but that's what she said. Or maybe her handwriting wasn't that good. One or the other, I'm not really sure. Don't be ridiculous. It's our own custom blend, by the way. It's a little bit of Dunkin', it's a little bit of Starbucks, and it's a little bit of whatever that crap was that was in the freezer. So we got Bucket O' Joe, a blend you will find nowhere else. I guarantee you. We have kiffles galore. We have fruit and stuff. There's some stuff back there. I just call it stuff because I have no idea what the hell that is. And Diane's famous Christmas punch. Gosh, we're starting to sound a little bit like Charles Dickens in the Christmas Carol. Oh, some figgy pudding. No, we got no figgy pudding. What the hell is figgy pudding? We probably don't want to know. Those English guys, they eat stuff. So, welcome. If you've been with us since the top of the hour, you know that we're using some Straight No Chaser music today, and they are fantastic. I hope you're enjoying that. Again, special thanks to Sarah and Shane. Maybe I'll just call them Shara from now on. That's the mashup. Laughing at my nightmare, we were together Tuesday evening over at Blue for a wonderful event to support their Tech the Halls campaign to provide physically challenged individuals with technology, whether it's an iPad or a smartphone or a computer, to help them in their day-to-day lives. And goodness, raised over $9,500. It was great fun. They are an inspiration to me. If you get an opportunity, please check out their website, laughingatmynightmare.com. It's one of the local charities that we support. We hope you will as well. And our November newsletter is on the streets, which is ironic because it's December. December's coming quickly. My English teacher is spinning in the grave. Which is weird because she's not dead. But one of the most important newsletters we may have issued in recent memory, because it talks about, is the stock market ready to tank, and things that you should know to make the decision for yourself to answer the question, should I stay or should I go? Because if I stay, it could be trouble. If I go, it could be double. So thank you to The Clash. If you are concerned about the stock market, if you're concerned that there may be, very good. If you are concerned that there may be a shock to your investment portfolio, we have 7 solid ideas, any one or any combination of which might very well answer your questions. They are free for the asking. If you would like us to email you, send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. If you like a hard copy, all you need to do is come visit us this morning, 4505 Hanoverville Road. All you need to do is 22 to 191 north, a mile, turn left, and we're on the left. We're going to welcome to the microphone financial advisor extraordinaire and advisor to many, many of our audience listeners, Mr. Mark Belsack. Good morning, sir.
Morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Very, very well. Our sounds are all good so far? Look at you.
So far, so good.
You're well, I trust?
I didn't have any of that coffee yet, so,
you know. It's fantastic.
Once I do, I probably will be running home, literally. But we'll have to give it a shot, see how it goes.
That was a little harsh, because, come on, I made that.
I'm sure it's amazing.
It's made with love.
That's right, absolutely.
And for those who don't know, you have 3 young lads at home.
I do. And for, right now, I think they're at home.
Some of them, as far as I know, they are young.
No, it's crazy. I've got, Zane's in driver's theory now. So He'll be getting his permit in January. I've got one that's already driving. And then my youngest is driving them crazy. So
we have Chase.
Chase, 17, well, 17 and a half, really.
Okay.
Zane will be 16 in January, and Slade will be, well, Slade just turned 11. Yeah, so it's good stuff.
Keeps you moving.
Eh, it's cool. Very good.
It is very cool indeed.
Yeah.
Most years they're here. To this year, they're busy. We're busy. Everybody's going a lot of different directions.
Chase has work.
How about that?
Zane has a midday to early evening date, and Slade is at he's going to be going to a birthday party.
So they, so. As everybody listening who has gone through this.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely can relate. There's a time when, hey, kids, we're doing this. And now it's, hey, Dad, we're doing this.
Exactly.
And if we fit into their schedule, that's a great thing. And if we don't?
Well, you know, as long as they're happy. Happy and safe.
It's all that we want. That's why we raise them. We raise them to be independent and strong and sound judgment and happy. Exactly. So,
yep.
So God bless them. And when you see him, you'll give him our...
Will do. My exciting conversation with Slade this morning, because, of course, he's the only one that's up with me. It's 5:30, 6 o'clock. He says, Dad, I think when I get older, I want to grow facial hair like Chase and Zane. I said, well, okay, that's interesting. So then the conversation goes into, I don't want blonde hair anymore. I want brown hair. I think that the girls like brown hair. And I'm like, no, you keep blonde hair, blue eyes, you'll be just fine. So, yeah, these are the conversations of an 11-year-old about what kind of facial hair to grow when you get older.
These are important distinctions.
Yeah. Well, having daughters, you didn't have to go through this conversation.
No, as a matter of fact, they were quite clear they did not want
facial hair. Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world.
You got to be a little flexible, that's all.
That's excellent, yeah. So that was my early morning discussions. It was excellent. Got me prepared for today.
It's pretty cool that he was up with you, though.
He's an early riser.
God,
yeah.
It's been a great year.
It's been amazing.
Not just financially.
Yep.
Our clients, they're the best.
Yeah, it's we're definitely very blessed with the clients that we have. I mean, we're very fortunate to be able to, you know, bring some people into the MTM family that actually enjoy being here. You know, we talk about all the time about who we select as having clients here. That's it. If we like you, if you like us, you actually enjoy coming in and it's not a hassle. Everyone's flexible. Everyone's understanding. And maybe you appreciate a fiduciary on your side.
Somebody,
there you go.
Somebody who really cares.
Yep.
Somebody who wants to meet with you. Somebody who wants to meet with you often.
Right.
And whose objective is, please God, if everything goes right, let's be working together for 20 years.
That's it.
Actually, that 20 years is mine. You're so much younger. You might go for 30 or 40.
Yeah, right now I'm sitting at about my estimates. I think I've got 30, 35 years left.
So that's the goal.
Something.
That's the goal. And a lot of folks, you're absolutely right. A lot of folks, it throws them a curveball when we say we don't accept everybody that comes through the door.
Right. Right.
We have some very clear guidelines. For a lot of financial firms, that means, do you have enough money?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, having worked, I think, what, next year's 24 years in the industry? Or based on your math, it's like 500 and something. So, I mean, I've worked for major banks, major investment firms. And the big differentiation that I talk to clients about is that most of them are asset gatherers. And we're not. I mean, that's cool. But the reality is, if you look at the turnover of the asset gatherers, it's oftentimes 50%+. So every year is a challenge. Here, okay, we'll see it next 90-day review. Exactly. And it just keeps going. So.
Yeah, and for folks out there, that if the term asset gatherer doesn't kind of ring a bell, an asset gatherer has a very simple objective as he gets up every morning or she gets up every morning. I want to have more client money piled
more.
Up on my side.
How do more. I get more? Well, what kind of client do you want? Just more.
Yeah, it doesn't. As long as the number of dollars goes up, they don't care about the relationship. They don't care about the service level. They don't care.
Yep.
We are the inverse of that. We care far more about the relationship. We have clients that we absolutely adore that have accounts so modest, mm-hmm. the average financial advisor wouldn't accept them as a client, and we adore them. And, of course, we have clients who have magnificent accounts. God bless them.
Sure.
But we adore them not because of the size of the account, but because of the quality of the person.
No, I explain to clients all the time. It's just sometimes it's easier to break it down to a business standpoint because that makes sense, because everyone always wants to know the question, well, how do you get paid and what's in it for you? It's we're in the business of building a book of business filled with recurring revenue. And if you have long retention rates and if your clients are here for a very long time, you don't need to worry about it.
And since we know that there's only two reasons why a client wants to stay here. Number one, they're getting very good results.
Coffee?
The coffee's good too.
Yeah.
That's true. They're getting very good results.
Yep.
And they're getting really good service.
Yeah.
So those are two things that we can directly influence, because if we're investing for them appropriately, correctly, to meet their basic needs, to meet their stated objectives, the returns are going to take care of themselves if we do our job. Serving them, that's an attitude.
Well, it's interesting that the return thing, and I it's funny, I feel like this is what I talk about every time we have this holiday show, because I think I mentioned it the last time, but you talk about the returns. The thing that makes our clients unique is that they're not necessarily looking, they're not return-based. They're realistic. There's an article I actually have it hanging up in my conference room. I was in CNBC 2 years ago, and it talked about the S&P is up 9 and my advisor's up 14. You should fire them. And the logic is that they had to have done something to exceed the bench. And by doing that, they're kind of sidestepping their fiduciary roles and taking risks that may or may not be prudent for you.
Would you not agree that our average client, no, let me erase that, the vast majority of our clients at this moment have far less interest in making more money than they are in what are we doing to protect the money we've got?
Yeah, here's the thing. Is the way that I explain it to my clients is that, to outperform the S&P year over year, it's impossible. To consistently outperform the S&P year over year, if anyone's telling you that they can do it, they're either fabricating their numbers or they're lying to you. And so we're never going to come to the table if we have this. This is the two of three that we don't accept is my advisor did this last year. What can you do? And I go, we can get you a nice cup of coffee. And that's about it. But the thing is, we will never claim we can't claim based on our roles of fiduciary, but we'll never discuss outperformance on the upside. Where the value that we provide is trying to structure portfolios that can provide outperformance when the market's down. And that's the more important of the two that our clients are here for. Listen, when the market's up, the market's doing tremendously this year. We're there. We're hanging in. Equities are doing real well. Bonds are okay. But it's when the markets are down, having the ability to you're either in for your 90-day review or you're calling in and you want to schedule, a mid 90-day review meeting or whatever it is, and you want to come in and you want to make some adjustments. I mean, that's what we're here for, is for the downside protection. That's sure. The value that we add. So.
And, of course, the asset gatherers, the stock brokers of the world, the big banks of the world, the banking institutions, as long as the total pot is going higher,
sure.
What's happening to your individual pot's not really that important to me. And if it's not addressing my interest in having more dollars piled up behind my desk, I'm not really sure that I have any interest in dealing with your concerns about Social Security.
Right.
Where we have Mark Basak, who comes in and spends all of that intellectual capital that he's accumulated, an amazing storehouse of knowledge, just to help our clients make the right Social Security decisions.
Right.
Or long-term care. What happens if you lose your health? What happens if somebody you care about loses your health? Somebody you love, mom and dad. I'm worried about mom and dad. What's going to happen? Can we get a long-term care plan put in place? Mike Pompei can help us do that. Or, hey, my will is so old, it's written on parchment and it was a quill pen.
Or, I don't have one.
How about it? 70% of the people we meet. Or, my taxes are driving me out of my mind. Do you have it? All of those pieces that the investment manager doesn't want to talk about, doesn't care to talk about, isn't equipped to talk about.
Right.
We bring all that to the table. Speaking of which, you've been hard at it looking at the new tax reform package.
Yeah.
Give us one or two ideas in there that you think people should know about.
All right. Here's the single biggest idea, the most important idea that you're going to take away from everything that went down. Was it 2 o'clock in the morning? Some crazy. So for everyone who's listening, put your coffee down, get your pencils out, get a pad of paper out. This is the single most important thing to take away from last night.
I'm ready.
It's going to change in about 10 minutes.
Ah.
So everything that's coming through, you need to understand that it's got to go back through the House and Senate Finance Committees. They need to get together again. They need to hash it out. So I can tell you everything that passed and everything that's in there, and it doesn't make a bit of difference. Because, for example, Corker was the sole Republican that did not vote. He wants something in place that if the economy is not growing fast enough to provide the growth offset, the additives to the budget, that he wants the taxes to automatically bump up again. Well, that's going to get added in somehow, which is actually really silly if you consider the last two quarters of GDP growth exceeded 3%. If you believe what Trump is telling you, the CEA says, you knock out the hurricane expenditures on the quarter three, GDP was up about 3.9. This time next year, we could be talking about 4% GDP, which is twice of what Obama could ever do. So anyway, I'm venting.
So bottom line for you is you've taken a look.
Yeah.
There are some interesting things, but let's not get our knickers in a twist. Let's not try to hone in on what a tax bracket might be.
Yes.
Let's be a little patient over the next 3 or 4 weeks, because apparently the objective is to have this on President Trump's desk by Christmas.
December 21st.
So,
yeah.
So let's take a deep breath.
Yeah.
The fact that they passed something, pretty big.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that some pretty important things have been put through that I think will carry over. So if you're asking me what are those important things that I actually think will make it through,
yeah,
that's a little bit different.
Give us one or two, just one or two.
Okay. State and local tax deduction, that's been a real big thing, especially for the high tax states. The Senate has said that they're going to make up to $10,000 of state and local property tax deductible. Okay. I think that's probably got a pretty high probability of sticking, so it's a nice little compromise. Obamacare's individual mandate gets repealed. I think that probably sticks. Who knows about the tax rates? The gentleman called in before. Not even going to go into it. Senate keeps 7. We have tax advisors here for anyone who gets a little complicated with that stuff, so feel free to come in. Corporate tax rate gets dropped from 35 to 20%.
That's huge.
Here's a neat one. I don't know if it sticks, but I think it's something that's often overlooked, and that's the new taxes on repatriating foreign profits. So this is something that's incredibly important with regard to the economy. This is something that's going to bring the trillions of dollars back here.
Yep.
So they increased the new tax on companies' foreign profits to 14.5% for cash, 7.5% for illiquid assets. That's a really big deal because that's lower than what they're proposing for the corporate tax rate. All these trillions of dollars come back into the country. That's going to create new jobs, new growth. That's what gets us to that potentially 4% GDP growth. So
there's lots of
Cool
opportunity.
Stuff. Oh,
opportunity.
Tremendous amount.
We'll see what sticks. Before I throw you off.
Yeah.
Because 2 minutes or so, we got to go to break. Thanks for a great year.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being had. It's we're quite a team here.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really starting to fill up here. I don't even know what time it is. Feels like it's noon.
Coming up on 9:30.
Oh, geez. I need that coffee. So, yeah, it's always filled up here, which is pretty cool because, you know, you can have a lot of the holiday parties here. And as I mentioned, in old lives, it's people that are just looking for free pens and stuff. These people hang out all day. I mean, this is the type of client base that we want. We want people who they look forward to coming in. They hang out all day. And it's not business. It's just,
and,
you know.
And when they show up, we smile.
Yeah, it's cool.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
God bless. A minute or so before we go to break. I know for Mark, it feels like noon. For a lot of folks who are not used to getting up really early on a Saturday morning, I get that. But for me, this is Saturday. And it's just such a joy to be able to serve you folks. Gosh, in any way that you can envision. So please come and join us. We're going to be here until 11:30, so another couple hours. Lots of coffee, lots of fruit, lots of yummy kiffles, natasis, the good stuff. We're in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth. All you have to do is come north on 191 for a mile. Turn left. We're a quarter of a mile on the left. And you'll get to meet the entire team. Lots of wonderful people. We got some Christmas music that is going to be starting here in just a few minutes. It's going to be so much fun. And we want you to be part of it. So please come and join us. If for whatever reason you cannot join us this morning, give us a call. 610-720-7900. Send me an email. Gene@askmtm.com. And... check us out on the web, morethanmoneyonline.com. Voice of an angel leading us up to Straight No Chasers, singing Sweet Little Jesus Boy. God bless you all. Come and join us back after this on More Than Money.
They made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, we didn't know who you were. Just seems like we can't do right. didn't know
explanations. We offer exceptional explanations. We offer bucket O explanations. That's exactly what we do. Welcome back to More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. What a great Saturday morning it is. The weather is perfection. Merry Christmas, my friend. Merry Christmas. God bless. God bless. Thank you for being here. Means a lot. Ah, we've got a wonderful crowd here, and we'll be here for another couple of hours at least. As we gear up shortly afternoon, we'll be heading over to Easton over near the State Theater. We're going to be at Two Rivers Brewery. We're going to enjoy our More Than Money team and have a holiday lunch. I understand that they have craft beer there, huh? I have heard good things about this thing, beer. Perhaps I shall try that. A little mead, a little holiday festivities. Spirits, indeed. But long before we go there, we want to see you. We'd like to have you come join us. We're in the Holy Lands. We're between Bethlehem and Nazareth. And all you need to do is go north on 191 from Route 22. Go up a mile at the light. Turn left. And you will be with us on a quarter mile on the right. Goodness gracious. For all of you who have requested the More Than Money newsletter, that's coming to you. If it's not already there, Joanne's been working diligently throughout the morning to get all those over to you. And if you're in the area and you'd like a hard copy, we have hard copies galore. I might even let Bobby have one. I don't want to, you know. Is that payola? No, it's. you're going to have to put that on your report because I'm thinking this is worth seven, maybe. Printing costs alone are like 6.5 cents. So, all right, you'll figure that out. But please, if you are available, please join us. If you're not, call 610-720-7900. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. Check us out online, morethanmoneyonline.com. A gentleman, so very kind. We sent out an email this past week letting you know that you're going to get a lot of good information. November newsletter, December newsletter, lots of updates and lots of information. And in one of my emails, I gave you the opportunity to send us information. Good morning, sir. Or questions that you might want to have answered. And a gentleman, Leon, sent us four really good questions. This gentleman zoned in on so many of the things that I would think if I were a listener to a financial show that I would want to know. So, Leon, I'm going to give I want to give you all the credit, and God bless. And If you have a couple minutes, we're going to answer a couple questions, and I'll get as many of yours in as I possibly can. Leon writes, on a previous show, I spoke about buying a home. For folks who are out there kind of trying to figure out the financing, see if the seller is willing to hold a mortgage or some part of the mortgage. Huh. On the back end, Leon asks a very appropriate question. When would it make sense for the homeowner to hold a mortgage? Ah, very, very good question indeed. So we understand the advantage to somebody who's buying a home, who's trying to finance, that perhaps they get a little better terms, a little lower interest rate, maybe a little more advantage if they have the owner finance. What would be the advantage to a homeowner? Earlier in the show, we talked to a young woman whose father had sold his house and has $150,000 in the bank. And her question was, where could they put that money where it would be safe, secure, and get a better rate of interest than 0.10, 0.1%? What if father, instead of selling it outright, had held the mortgage, and let's say the current mortgage rates, I'm picking a number, are 4%, and he, because he's holding the mortgage, gave a slightly better deal and accepted 3.5%. So it's an advantage to the buyer, of course. Lower fees because he doesn't have to charge some of the bank fees. If he does it properly and correctly, he can be very, very well protected. And yet, instead of earning 0.10, 0.1%, he on $150,000 right now, he's making $150 a year. He might earn 3.5% on $150,000, something around $5,000. That's a huge difference. So is it an advantage? Could it be an advantage for someone who owns their home outright, doesn't need all of the cash, all of the principal, but would appreciate the income? The answer is absolutely. That makes a great deal of sense. There are other situations, not necessarily involving residences, but there are other situations where perhaps there is perhaps an investment property, maybe a rental property, maybe a commercial property. Good morning. And if you're holding, if you get all of the profits out in one fell swoop, you may have to pay 20%. Immediately. Pick a number. It's a $500,000 rental property. You sell it. Your cost basis is very low. You owe 20% on $500,000. This year, you write a tax bill for $100,000. Well, that causes your heart to kind of flutter a bit. So perhaps if you hold a mortgage, you're doing two things. You might charge 3 or 4 or even 5%. Commercial mortgages interest rates are generally a bit higher. So you get a good, strong income. But more importantly, perhaps for tax planning purposes, you're getting pieces of your profit over a long period of time. So you might be able to keep your capital gains under the threshold of the 15% bracket. And because of the current tax laws having this bit of a wrinkle, keeping it in the 15% bracket means your tax is zero. Zero. We went from 20% to zero. If we were successful in converting the entire $500,000 from completely taxable to completely tax-free, the tax savings alone would be $100,000. That's pretty impressive. Well, where I come from, that's pretty impressive. Maybe to you, $100,000 is just not that big a deal. Maybe you're from Nigeria and you get your $25 million from Interpol, but where I come from, it's real money. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. If you're just joining us, we are live from the More Than Money World Headquarters in the Holy Lands, which, what better place could we possibly be this Christmas season than in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth? We're at 4505 Hanoverville Road. And we invite you to join us. We have Bucket O' Coffee back there. We have our entire More Than Money team here. We have, Kiffles galore, snacks like you camped at this. Oh, so good stuff. Oh my! If you can get Kiffle Kitchen as a client, then maybe I can do some bartering. Because, of course, I weigh 300 pounds, but whoa, are they great. It's all here for you. And to be fair, as good as all that is, the best part of being here is the people. We have wonderful, wonderful clients. So many folks who have stopped in to join us. So many friends that we just love. We just flat out love. It's just that simple. Leon asks another very, I think, appropriate question. He says, Tesla is currently valued at $59 billion and has never made a profit. General Motors is valued at $53 billion and has a $9 billion profit. Doesn't that indicate that the market is overvalued? What steps should a person take on the edge of retirement in order to survive a 20 or 30% decline in the market? Brilliant. Leon, you got to come over here. You got to be, I'm going to, speechwriter. I think this guy's a speechwriter for me. Let me answer your first question first. That's unusual for me, but I'll do that. Tesla, $59 billion cap, no profit. General Motors, a $53 billion cap, $9 billion in profit. Is the market overvalued? No. Tesla is overvalued. It's your call. Nobody puts a gun in anybody's ribs and says you've got to invest in Tesla. But people do. Why? Have you seen them? They're pretty sexy. They're pretty cool. So many years ago, that many of you have never even heard the name Peter Lynch. Peter Lynch, 30-plus years ago, managed a Fidelity fund called Magellan. And for 10 years, Magellan broke every record of profits that you could possibly envision. Now, interestingly enough, it happened during a bull run in the market when everybody was making money. Making money was a fairly easy thing to do. But Peter Lynch became literally famous around the world for being the guru, the most intelligent man to ever invest in the stock market. And he wrote a book. And one of the key tenets of his book was that you buy things, that you invest in companies that offer products that you like. So if you're a Kiffle Kitchen kind of guy, I should own stock in Kiffle Kitchen. And I am a Kiffle Kitchen kind of guy. If you are a Starbucks fan, you should buy Starbucks. If you are a Dunkin' Donuts fan, we just call it Dunkin' now. You're a Dunkin' fan, you buy Dunkin'. So the theory is, from an investment standpoint, you're buying something you know, you're buying something you like, you're buying something that when you go in and you make a purchase, you go, I don't much care because it's making me money. Well, that, in essence, is a big steaming pile of hoo-ha. Because, let's be blunt, lots of us have been patrons of companies that about 20 minutes later, we were surprised to find they went bankrupt. Wait a minute. David's Bridal up on MacArthur Road about 6 months ago. They were just blowing the doors off. People in there on a Friday having all those dresses on layaway, $8,000. Saturday they were closed. We'll try to get your dress to you, but we're sorry. You're sorry? Oh my gosh. The list of companies that millions of people patronized that went under, It's not even unusual anymore. It's just simply not unusual. So, no. Market overvalued? No. Tesla overvalued, in my opinion? I would say yes. Apparently, a lot of other folks agree because Tesla's stock is struggling at the moment. And goodness, it may continue to struggle. However, the second question, I think, the second part of this question may be the most important part. How does somebody on the verge of retirement protect themselves in a 20 or 30% decline? Well, there's a fair number of ways. Number one, do not invest in Tesla. Do not invest in General Motors. Don't invest in Apple. Don't invest in Microsoft. Whoa. Not any of them? No. You don't want to invest in individual stocks. The speed at which an individual stock can crater is breathtaking, breathtakingly painful. It is a very uncomfortable thing to know that Tesla stock could drop 50% while you're on your way out to lunch. So you turn to more protective ways to be in the market, like a mutual fund or an ETF. Secondly, you want to carve out, if you're on the brink of retirement, you want to carve out enough money outside of the stock market that you won't need to sell whatever money is inside the stock market until the market's had a chance to go down and come back up as well. So pick a number, $500,000. You need $20,000 a year. I would carve out $60,000 of my $500,000, and I would have that in a money market, in short-term bonds, short-term CDs, something very, very safe, something very, very stable. I would have the rest of my money invested appropriately for my objectives, my risk tolerance, and I would have all of the profits from the balance, that $440,000, pour into a central account, a money market account, to replenish the money that I'm withdrawing. Does all that kind of make sense? Those are just two ideas. There are lots more, and to be perfectly honest, Leon, gosh, these are great questions. And I'm not going to be able to touch even half of them, but they're a good start for next week, that's for sure, because we don't go anywhere. We're here every week. Bobby just had me sign a contract for the next 15 years. Goodness gracious. He put a contract in front of me for 15 years. Hey, me, Bobby, WAEB. What a team. What a team. If I'm looking at my clock correctly, we got about 3 minutes before we go to our out. This is my 3 minutes. Of course, I want you to come visit us in the Holy Lands. Come visit us this morning. We'll be here for another couple hours. Of course, I want to serve you. We want to serve you. That's our reason for existence. That's our reason for being. But this morning, mostly what I want to say is thank you. God gave us the most amazing gift a little over 2,000 years ago. The gift of our Savior, literally our Savior. If any of you think that you have led such a good life, you don't need redemption, then God bless you. You're a far better person than I. I need God's good grace, and He sent His Son, Jesus, to provide that to us. It's an amazing gift, and one that, although we don't deserve, we are so very, very grateful for. You are a gift to us. Every opportunity that you give us to serve you, every time you turn on that radio and you listen for even a few minutes to More Than Money, you're allowing us to serve you. And what a blessing that is in our lives. It's more than I can ever share with you intelligently. It's more than I can, ever express. But what a wonderful ride it is, and you're with us. We're growing. By the time this time next year, the other half of our office will be open, and we'll have more Than Money team members and more folks here for this event, and maybe even the ping pong table will be up. We'll have a tournament on Christmas morning. That'll be great fun indeed. Please come and join us. 4505 Hanoverville Road, More Than Money World Headquarters. We're here until noon. If we can serve you in some way and you can't make it this morning, all you need to do is send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. You can log on to our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. And get all the great information that you need. And if you need a second opinion, if you just like to have your situation looked at, that's exactly what we do. And we do it at absolutely no charge. It is an opportunity for us to serve you. And God bless. That's the voice of an angel. Natalie Merchant leading you up to Straight No Chaser and maybe my favorite song of all time, Mary, Did You Know? John, back in the studio, thank you so much. Bobby Williams, thank you. And to everybody out there, thank you for being such an important part of More Than Money. We'll talk to you soon on More Than Money.
Generous, I don't know how you keep on giving. For your kindness, I'm dead to you. And I never could have come this far without you.
Sleeping child you're holding is a great